What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from undercover tourists. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from undercover tourist and authorized seller and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with undercover tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
It's 902-1ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of 902-1OMG. It is JTNS. And baby girl, who's almost here.
Mm-hmm. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, everybody.
Do you think she knows our voices at this point?
So I was wondering that because I can only hear you guys through my headphones. So does the baby hear through headphones?
She's like, there's that lovely Jenny and there's that annoying one. Oh, Tori, God, her voice is just, right?
Oh, she'll be here soon, hanging in there.
It's crazy. You don't even look pregnant.
Do you want me to stand here? Up?
If you can.
It's crazy.
It's so big. It's like a watermelon.
I saw on your Instagram that your husband cooked for you, sis.
Yeah.
That was recent, right?
Yeah, he made, what did he make? Like a chicken linguine.
With asparagus.
With asparagus and lemon.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm. It looked real good.
It was delicious.
Now, you mentioned before him cooking. Does he cook a lot?
He does. And especially like I've kind of just given up on anything around the house lately. Sadly, just like the pregnant wife on the couch.
As you should.
As you should be.
Yeah. So he's really stepped up, thankfully.
It's so great when somebody cooks for you, isn't it? Like, I don't know. I just love it when anybody cooks for me. I don't care what you cook. I will eat it if you cook it for me.
That's good to know.
That's a lie. What if I make you a steak right now?
Well, I won't eat that.
Right.
You have to eat what I like, but you have to cook what I like. But yeah.
It's true. It tastes better. It's made with love. Like Jen will make snacks and bring to set and stuff. And I'm just always so like, anything she has, I'm just like, oh, I love it because it's made with love, you know?
Yeah. And it's all healthy. And you're like, this is good for me.
She makes the best little chicken wings ever. Little drumettes.
Oh my God.
It's true.
Chicken wings.
That's Tori's takeaway of all the things you made for her.
No, they're like healthy. Oh, they're like baked, but they're just like really tasty. Okay, sorry. It's one of my faves.
She sucks those bones too, let me tell you.
I do. I'm one of those clean boners.
Oh, what?
No, nope. Can't say that.
You're a clean boner.
I like to suck a bone clean. No, I get in there. I eat all the meat off, and then I even eat like the gristly like part on the ends, like crunch, yeah, crunch.
It's intense. You say you hate when I eat, but when you eat, it's a whole nother thing.
I've never been one of those people with the tendons and all. I eat like I leave so much chicken on the bone. My husband is.
You said tendons.
Yeah, well, that's where they are, yeah. Right?
Disgusting.
I know. That makes me grossed out. No.
My husband will eat the rest of my chicken wings because I can never finish him.
Well, you're lucky that he's cooking for you. I'm just saying. Yes.
That is nice.
Mm-hmm. My husband, he makes like one dish because he never learned to cook when he was young. Uh-huh. His mother never taught him. And so when he cooks for us, it's one dish. It's chicken parmesan. And he makes it gluten-free. And he does all his thing, everything he can to make it something we would want to eat. And he does a really good job. So whenever he does that, I'm like, yes.
That's not super simple. That's a good nice dish.
Oh, and he's great at making burgers.
Oh, he's good at the grill.
Yeah, he's great at the grill now. He wasn't when we first met, but I was like, listen, the grill is your area. You've got to handle that. So do what you got to do to learn how to grill something. I'm not going to teach you. It's not my thing, but you got to grill. He grills and he makes great burgers. He makes vegan burgers and they're really good.
The grill. I'm scared of the grill.
Me too. I've never been somebody that's just like, I don't even think I know how to turn it on, to be quite honest with you.
I don't either. And I don't want to learn. Like, it's the one thing, like, about cooking that I'm just not interested in is the grill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get all hot and stinky. Like, you smell like cooked meat. Who wants that?
Definitely not you.
No. No.
Yeah, if there was a cologne that was called cooked meat, you would probably like it, Tori.
Oh, duh.
Wait, Jenny, you're so vegan that like if somebody cooked meat in a pan, you couldn't eat out of that same pan or no?
I mean, I'm not that crazy. No, I'm
okay.
I would probably wipe the pan out first before I cook the vegan thing. Yeah.
Well, that's just her OCD though. That's nothing to do with the meat drippings.
I just like to keep things clean. Yeah.
I had a friend who was dating a vegan and she was so intense that like they had to have separate pots and pans for all of their meals. And like, she didn't want basically anything meat touching her plates, her pans. Like, it was like so intense.
Yeah. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm not crazy like that. I'm just, you know, to each his own. I'm like, you know, I'm not that crazy about it, but I'm not vegan. I don't know what I am.
Yeah. You need to find a word. We need to find a word for you.
Pescatarian. Do you eat fish?
I don't like to eat fish now either because I saw that damn movie about the ocean.
Seaspiracy.
Yeah.
The salmon.
Now I can't
Wait,
even
so crab's
eat fish
off the table now?
Crab. I can't eat my
she
crab
love her
legs.
Crab claws.
Damn, crab legs are
not
so
the
messy.
Claw, the leg.
Well, whose tails am I going to eat now? Wait. Oh, man. Okay, so do you still eat chicken? Like, you'll eat chicken once in a while?
I will eat chicken once in a while. And because I'm trying to like, you know, I want my kids to eat healthy. So mm-hmm. I don't want to be so specific and like, mm-hmm. you know, crazy about it. So I cook chicken, I make chicken. But if you start talking about it, Sissany, about the tendons, and I'm not going to be able to eat it now. So thanks.
I can't with the bone.
The one protein I eat is I'm done with it.
Oh, man.
I've actually lost my taste for meat. Lately.
What?
Yes.
Really?
I haven't eaten steak in, oh my gosh, it's been a couple months. I just don't feel like eating steak. I've been eating more fish and plant-based products. I know. Well, head it over to your team.
They say that's good for you.
We'll see.
It is good for you, and it's plant-based is good for you, and it's good for the environment.
Is that true, though?
It is true. I think it's not like the be-all, end-all for the environment.
Okay, see, I don't know anything, so I have no reason to speak on this. But I just heard from someone that plant-based products, the way they're made, are not good for the environment. And that's like a new another issue now. People are like,
did they say why? What was
I see? I don't know anything. See, I can't even like, I'm not informed on it. I just heard it and I was like, now this isn't good for our environment. What's happening? So
I think it's probably the water consumption. Like they say, if you're drinking almond milk, it takes a lot of water to make almonds grow. The almond trees grow.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's real, real hard for the people who make the almond milk because they have to like squeeze the little boobies on the almonds. Sorry, I couldn't help it. You know how a cow, when you get the milk out, you have to squeeze the boobs?
Yeah.
What if an almond
What about oat milk? How do they have to squeeze little oats too? That's real. That's extreme.
I don't
extreme.
Know how they do it. I've made almond milk once and I was just kidding. You don't have to squeeze the nipples.
Was it a long process?
You just have to grind it up a lot and then squeeze it through a mesh.
Like a net
bag.
Mesh
thing.
Net.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. And then, you know, not a lot of liquid comes out. It's more the pulpy stuff.
Are you guys super fascinated by our conversation today?
Honestly,
imagine
yes.
People are like, what
I hope
is
they are.
Going on?
You know, this is what everyone's talking about.
I've heard though that the problem with the meat in the meat industry, aside from, you know, the cows and their feelings, but you know,
oh no, we don't want to go there.
Listen, like I said, to each his own. But I think that it's the off-gassing from all the manure produced from the cows. Mm.
Really?
That is contributing to, these are the things I've heard, to contributing to global warming.
I thought we were just going to run out of cows eventually.
No, they can just make more. They know how to make them, basically.
Or no. It wasn't that we're going to run out of cows. Is that we're going to run out of space on Earth to have the cows.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I mean, we're just doomed. We're running out of dirt. We're running out of water.
Global warming.
I don't know what's happening. Global warming. Where are we going to go? What's going to happen? You guys ever think about it? It's not to be negative or like doomsday, but.
No, that's why you go back in life and you rewatch shows like your 90210 show.
Just forget about what's really
yourself.
Happening around us. Yeah. Please distract me from the world around me.
Or be a horror fanatic like me, because one day that shit is going to pay off because there's going to be a zombie apocalypse and I'm going to know how to survive, you guys, because I've seen
you
every
think
movie.
Zombies are going to come?
I think aliens before
zombies. A version. I mean, not zombies, but there's going to be some version of some unvaxxed person that's just going to take down the world. I don't know.
That's what we're all going to turn into zombies.
Or maybe that's going to be us. Yeah.
Yeah. We're already here. The zombies are here. Oh my God. We have to stop talking about this. I'm starting to sweat.
Okay.
Did you guys watch the Olympics?
Yeah, I did. On and off, but yeah.
I was like into it this time. I don't know.
What did you enjoy the most?
Oh my God. I loved the synchronized swimming the most. And of course the gymnastics and the racing, the track and field stuff. So good. Cause there's so many just like awesome athletes competing. It's really fun to watch that. And, I saw the ribbon dancing, the rhythmic, rhythmic dancing.
That's nice.
Where they dance around with the ribbon.
I've seen that. But I missed.
I mean, I could do that. I could do that, but I'm not like Olympic level, but I could probably swing a ribbon around while I dance around a little bit.
For sure you could.
I agree.
What about the skateboarding?
That was good.
Skateboarding was cool.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. That got my kids to watch a little bit, the skateboarding.
Yeah, they would love that. Yeah, we watched it a lot. We went out of town this past week, and when we were gone, we were like, oh no, we have to get back to the hotel room so we can watch the Olympics.
Speaking of Olympics and sports, can you tell everyone what you were doing this past week? She was on tour, you guys.
I was,
and
yes,
for a good cause.
I'm on tour with the PGA now. I was
pretty much,
my husband and I went to Memphis, Tennessee to participate in the FedEx St. Jude's celebrity golf tournament, and it was so fun. I met a lot of really
great
people.
You're quite the golfer.
She's a good golfer, and you only started less than a year ago, right? Or a year ago?
Yeah, less than a year ago. About a year now, I guess. It's my thing. Golf's my thing now. Like,
playing at the PGA.
I have a thing. I have a lot of things, but like this golf thing is real fun because you get to meet new people. And then sometimes I love to go golfing by myself and just like clear my head and be alone. And, you know, when you're out there golfing, all you think about is your shot, the what you're about to make. And it's like a 4-hour process golfing. So you get a lot of like, you know, time to be one with nature.
I'd be down to learn golf.
It's not great. Easy.
I think everybody should learn it. It's not easy. Tori's tried it.
Yeah. She's tried to give me some tips, which are helpful, but it's hard. It's not for everyone. And you were protecting yourself from the sun.
Oh,
covered from head to toe.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at.
That's the problem with the golfing is the sun. Like, there's no shade out there unless you find a tree. And if you find a tree, you probably don't have a good shot. So, I look a little ridiculous. Someone referred to me recently as Mrs. Habersham or something like that. The old lady from the Caddyshack movie.
Okay, Mrs. Habersham is from Great Expectations. Mrs. Habersham like lived in like this beautiful mansion. It's a little bit of Grey Gardens, which we love Grey Gardens. So it's right in line with what you like.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get sun. I mean, because for the golf tournament, I thought, okay, I don't want to look like a weirdo and have my entire body covered from head to toe like I normally do. So I let my arms be out and my legs be out. And the whole time I was obsessing about like, I got a new spot. What's that spot? I see it. I see a spot. Because I have had in the past problems with skin cancer and, you know, early signs of, you know, when they find a mole and they take it and they biopsy it, all that jazz. So I'm really kind of predisposed to that. So I got to protect myself.
Can't you have somebody just follow you around with an umbrella at all times? Shade you?
That's called a caddy. I'm not into that.
But they do that? There's actual people that like will shade professionals?
Yeah. I mean, if a caddy would do that. Also, you can put an umbrella on your golf cart now, but I don't know. Seems a little excessive. I'd rather wear my leggings and my arm stockings and my ginormous hat.
Oh my gosh. Remember on 90210, like a PA or someone would come up with an umbrella to try to shield us from the sun. It used to make me so embarrassed. I'd be like, oh my God. Because it would typically be while we were out in public and they would just be like following you. And I'd be like, I'm okay. I'm okay. Because, you know, people are watching that like, oh, she demands it. That's what they want. Yeah, they've requested that.
She can't hold her umbrella.
Yeah.
I love an umbrella too. Is it weird to have an umbrella to block the sun from you though? Am I taking it too far? If I just like, when I go to the grocery store.
That's a parasol, not chic. That's a parasol. And I feel like in Asia, like the women, they have beautiful skin always. And they always have their parasols.
Mm-hmm.
Parasol?
Mm-hmm.
Parasols, sorry.
It's a lot of sun. Nobody wants that much sun. I mean, sun is good to a certain degree, but it's also very harmful. You've got to protect your skin, people.
Totally.
So we've learned about how to protect your environment, plant-based, how to avoid a zombie apocalypse, and how to
this show would be so
protect your skin. See, we are sending major messages to people.
Yeah, we are providing a service.
I think so, too.
You're welcome.
Now we should talk about teenage love desperation.
Let's do it.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. This episode. Season 2, episode 16, My Desperate Valentine, aired November 21st, 1991.
Synopsis: Emily refuses to accept the fact that Brandon no longer wants to see her. The rest of the group tries to figure out who is sending menacing letters and slashing tires around Beverly Hills.
Directed by Jeff Melman, written by Darren Starr, Steve Wasserman, Michael Swerdlick, and Jessica Klein. Michael Swerdlick?
It's a lot. 4 people had to write this episode. Jeez Louise.
Must have been crowded in that room.
Well, we should take a break and come back with our little recap for this episode.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, everyone. So as you can imagine, we know a thing or two about makeup. We've pretty much tried it all.
And we are really liking Thrive Cosmetics because they have a full line of makeup perfect for an everyday look refresh.
They have clean ingredients that feel great on your skin. And their products are foolproof, which makes it easy for any skill level to apply.
And it's really cool to know that Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive.
Oh, I love that connection. See that? Plus, how cool is it that their high-performance formulas are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free?
Amazing. And they have zero parabens, sulfates, and phthalates.
I really believe when it comes to makeup, beautiful eyebrows are so important. Don't you think? Their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner helps you achieve your ideal eyebrow look.
And their easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder.
Ooh la la. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back.
Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/90210.
That's Thrive Cosmetics. CAUSEMETICS.com/90210 for 10% off your first order.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode, again, was called My Desperate Valentine. And there's a good reason, because Emily is desperado for Brandon, man.
Yeah, by this point, I actually wanted her to take it down a notch. I wanted.
What do you mean?
Well, I just felt like, I don't know. I just wanted her to, don't go away, Matt. Just go away. Like, go away for a little bit and, like, let the boy pine for you. And maybe, like, she was just like,
She was too desperate. She couldn't play it cool.
She couldn't, but she's played it cool. So, like, she had us all convinced. We were convinced she was cool. The nice girl and that she was sane. So if she could do that, how come she couldn't turn it back on and convince him? Or is she just starting to lose it?
I think she's losing it. She needs a little psychiatric help, possibly some medication. I don't know, but Yeah, Brandon was like, it was like Fatal Attraction. Big time.
Minus the bunny, thank goodness.
He moves his locker to avoid being around her, which is interesting. That's an interesting tactic.
By the way, like, it wasn't that easy to move your locker.
How do you know? Did you try?
I guess I didn't try, but like, otherwise people broke up all the time.
Yeah. That's part of school. You have to be in the locker next door to your friend or your enemy, whatever it is. Like, you're stuck with that locker, pal, for the whole year. But I guess Brandon got some special treatment. He got to move his locker.
Right.
So while Emily is having this like mad crush gone bad on Brandon, Brenda and Dylan are making out in the backyard, and then she says basically what I think no girl would ever say: let's stop kissing, let's don't do this anymore. Like, if you were making out with Dylan, I don't think you would say that.
No,
never. Mm-mm. No,
but they want to get cultured. They want to, you know, do something more.
Which what they decide to do is so yeah, what?
Go to watch a orchestral quartet,
a violin concert,
a violinist.
What's it called? A Baganini? Baganini violin.
Baganini.
Paganini.
Baganini. They attended Paganini violin concert.
Am I saying it right, or is it Paganini? Is sure it something fancy? Okay, whatever.
Whatever.
Something bougie that, like, teens don't do.
Teens do not do. Couldn't they have made him do something cooler?
Like what?
Like a normal concert? Anything at the time? Go to Paul Abdul?
Yeah. Oh, nice call. Nice. That would be fun. But they'd probably end up making out there, too. So I don't know what the point of this whole thing was.
Mm. Yeah.
Dylan's just back at her full force. Like, I really wasn't even aware that Brenda and Dylan were like back together so much until I saw them making out. Like, this episode has just sort of jumped right back into them being together.
Agreed. Yeah. They had to kick that B storyline into full force.
Mm-hmm. And Brandon, he's just too dang nice. Is he nice, or is he still flirting with Emily and sending her mixed signals?
There was no mixed signals.
I don't know. There was a few times when he looks at her with those blue eyes of his. And
well, he has beautiful blue eyes. And when you're talking to someone, you have to look at them.
Yeah, but the little smirk, like he had a little smirk with it.
He has dimples.
The eyes and the smirk combo sends the wrong message, I think. I mean, if I was Emily, if I was crazy in love with Brandon, I would be like ready to, you know, get back with him.
That's like looking at Brad Pitt. He could look at you stern and as mean as possible, and you'd still be like, oh, he's hot.
Yeah. So you don't really hate me.
Right. And he can't help it. His little eyebrows go together. He's just.
I tell you one thing, though. When there's a scene with Brandon and Steve talking to each other, and all I can think about is, well, how does Ian still look exactly the same? He does not age.
That man doesn't age.
Mm-mm. It is weird, this point. It's just weird.
Why do you think I want to join his beauty business? I'm like, whatever you're using, I'll have one of those. Like, yeah, he just
Sign me up.
Yeah, exactly. He has such good skin. And if you see him in person, like, I don't think he even has wrinkles. It's not fair.
Maybe he's been using sunblock his entire life.
Probably. He's smart.
Mm. That's one thing wish I would have done more.
Okay, so you know how I harp on the boom.
Yep. What'd you see?
Oh, yeah.
In the episode? Well, this episode was a little disappointing. I have to say there was only one boom noticeable.
The fact that you find him.
I honestly watch it for the boom now. Like my eyes are watching the top of the screen and I'm like, wait, well, listen to what they're saying.
Wait, what scene? Yeah. What scene was it in? I never see it.
Usually, you guys, it's in the Walsh kitchen. It was a
tight space to film it, in all fairness.
Mm-hmm. Robo didn't have a lot of room for his long stick with the fuzzy thing on the end of it. He had to dip it down. But so aside from the boom being an issue for me, another issue is continuity, hair continuity. So I don't know if people understand what I'm saying. Okay, there was a scene with Brenda and Brandon in the bedroom, and they were having nice little twinsy talk. And okay, so when they're on like Shannon or Brenda, when she's talking, her hair was like this, right? Like in front of her shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when they cut to the over the shoulder of her at the same, you know, in the same exact conversation, her hair is like that.
In the back.
Right? Behind her shoulder.
Is this the scene where she's in the white pajamas? He's in his denim suit?
Maybe. Maybe. But it just happened in that scene for this episode for me, but it really ignited a flame inside of me of now I have to watch for the miscontinuity of the hair. Because that's my good number one thing when I watch any movie or show or whatever. I always see that. Because it's hard. It's a pain in the ass to get your continuity always the same. Because the camera is, you know, in the front of you and then it's behind you. And you have to match mm-hmm. your action, match everything you're doing. If you're eating, you have to eat at the same exact time on the same exact line. So when they cut around to another shot, it syncs up, you know. It's a big deal.
And there's a person dedicated to that, the script supervisor. I mean, they do a lot of other stuff too, but one of their things is literally to watch a master, which is the big scene before they go in for close-ups, and to take notes. Like, so if she flipped her hair at one point, they have to write exactly after what line she did it. So when they do her close-up, she has to match that. In all fairness, though, we don't know, but I can picture scripty, that's what we always call them, saying to Shannon, this is where you need to put, and she was like, okay. Mm-hmm.
I can see that happening. There's been times for me even when I'm like, no, I definitely took a bite on when I said hello. Like I know when I took a bite. Okay. It was me taking the bite. I know. Like I'll get into an argument with script supervisor and they're like, okay, just do it however you want to do it. It doesn't match, but okay. And then they'll walk away mad at you.
They do. They say exactly that. They try their best and they're like, yeah, my hands are clean. I've said my piece. Do what you want.
I don't know how they do it. That's a huge responsibility because script supervisor does so many other things, like times each scene, and like they notice. I don't know what else they have to do, but they write a lot of things down in the script, so they must be doing a lot.
They're sitting right next to the director, right? Video village, we call it, and the monitors. They have to look at everything. Like it's a crazy job. Remember on BH90210, okay, so Brian likes to improvise, which means come up with his own words, verbiage for the scene. But every single scene, he would just add different things. So you couldn't match it. I always felt so bad. I was like, oh my God, his scripting must be like going, what do I do? Because every take, he would just like say something different, even if it was like already matched to the... Good on him. He likes to, you know, do that. I don't remember him doing that as David Silver.
No, he took liberty and ran with it on BH. Did. But it was great because we wanted it to be like off the cuff like that.
We did.
And he's funny. In his voice. You said Video Village. That's where the director sits like behind the monitor with his headphones on and script supervisor sits back there and the producers sit back there. I never called it Video Village. I always called it Idiot Village. Is that bad?
What do you call it?
Idiot Village.
Why?
I called them. It used to be like, I remember calling it not Video Village. I would call it Idiot Village.
Were you just being a rebellious teen?
Yeah. Yes. Were you just annoyed with them?
They're all back there talking about us.
I thought I was
us.
Being clever. Yeah, because they sit behind this like, you know, black wall of, I don't know, cloth or whatever it is. And then all their chairs were set up there and they're watching all the monitors and calling all the shots and I don't know. It's very stressful to think of them sitting back there just sort of talking about how you are acting or how you're looking. You know what I mean? It gets to you. I much prefer to sit in Idiot Village and be one of those people than be on the camera.
Yeah, we like that. Mm-hmm. And that's why we now create our own.
Yeah, and we watch our continuity and we keep the damn boom out of the shot.
We do.
There was a lot of phone calling. There was a lot of phone stuff happening in this episode because Emily kept calling and calling and calling. And she would leave a message. Yeah, the giant wall phone. Remember those? With a super long, like squiggly cord so you could reach the kitchen if you needed to walk around. I loved it. Yeah, you twirl it. I like how you're miming that. That's good. But they had an answering machine too.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember those?
Oh, yeah. It used to stress me out so much leaving my message.
Like, you're like, yeah.
Can't get to the phone. Leave a message after the beep.
That's a good one. You just did it.
It wasn't that good back then.
You've gotten better.
Oh, my gosh.
We filmed a lot outside of the Walsh house in this episode. I think more so than other episodes, probably. So, you know, where the gang is all building the float and everything.
Building the float,
by the way. Didn't look so good.
Building the float.
It was fun. I remember shooting those scenes and we all had a lot of fun because while they're doing like the dialogue part up front with Brandon and Emily, we're all in the back like pretending to build a float. Basically, none of us knew how to do anything, obviously. And, well, the guys probably did, but the girls, we would just be messing around and flicking paint at each other. And I'm sure props was like, oh God, I have to give them paint. This is going to be a disaster.
Totally.
Because we couldn't be serious. We had to, you know, mess around. But that was the fun of it, I thought.
I want to get to like makeup and hair and wardrobe.
Well, you want to talk about Emily's?
Yeah, I feel like she had a very, her makeup and hair specifically went on an arc in this episode. Continuity was really good there. I feel like she became more and more disheveled. She had like bags under her eyes. You could tell she'd been crying. It was very, I don't even know how you can't do that with makeup. So good on Christine. But I feel like you saw her coming undone literally through the episode.
She does. She does come undone. She pulls out all the stops. She, you know, calls them a million times, gives them gifts, the typewriter, gives the gift to Andrea, gives the cake to them on their doorstep. She pulls the, oh, it was my first time with you, Brandon. Now I feel like a whore or a slut or whatever she said. She did everything she could think of to get Brandon back. And Andrea, what is she doing? She invites Emily Valentine to the inauguration of the float thing. Like, Andrea hates Emily Valentine. And then all of a sudden she's invited.
You're right.
Her.
She was always jealous. So why?
She felt bad for her, I think.
That was just a story point.
Yeah, I didn't buy it.
Yeah.
Nope. Did you notice, wardrobe-wise, I feel like Emily's like bad and dark, and then like the Walshes are the light and bright. And there were two instances where Cindy Walsh had a long, silky white robe on, and then at the end, Brenda had silky white pajamas on. Do you think that was on purpose? Like to show like they're the angels, she's the devil? No, wow. Overthinking it?
Maybe.
I think you might be overthinking it because, yeah, I just remember them just throwing anything on us at some point. Whatever fits, wear that.
Well, sis will always point out things like, so this is why this happened and here's the, and we're like, oh, okay, now we get it. So I was like, oh, maybe I found one of those little like.
I was taken aback by Emily's silk pajamas when she spends the night at.
Well, they were Brenda's.
Then I realized, right? Yeah. Then I realized they're probably Brenda's because she didn't have anything.
She had on the twin.
Oh.
Jersey.
You just don't do that.
Mm-mm. No. What, wrong.
Back to the phone thing for 1 second. Why is it that whenever you're on TV, where you see somebody calling someone on TV, the number's always 555? Something, 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 something.
Right?
It's always 555. Why?
Because
five,
those five, numbers five, five. Don't exist, not a, right?
So because they think like, oh, if the people see them dialing the real number, then they'll dial it too.
Yeah, they can't, right? Isn't that what we were always told?
It would really suck if that was actually your phone number and you were getting tons and tons of calls.
But that was like so long ago. I feel like they don't do that anymore. So do 555 numbers now exist and they can't do that?
Maybe. You would think that they would run out of like sequences and 555 would be a thing now.
Yeah. I wonder. Food for thought.
But I was saying about the scenes with the float, you know, in the backyard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We filmed a lot in that backyard and it was actually at the house in Altadena. That was the Walsh house. And then there's a scene in the middle of the show where they get the cake and the Minnesota Twins shirt gift thing from Emily, and they're standing on the front doorstep of the Walsh house. And that was on our soundstage. So I just always thought people might not know that, maybe, you know, because it's confusing to even me. But they did such a great job lighting it, because it looked like it was really outside a real front of a house, you know. But it wasn't.
Yeah, so that house was not owned by the show.
No.
People actually lived in it.
An older gentleman was always around living. He lived there. Yeah.
Always there. So that was all his furniture, all his stuff?
No, no.
We never filmed inside the house, right? Did we ever film?
We weren't allowed to
even
go
in
inside.
The beginning? Oh, okay. So very beginning, there was,
we couldn't even use the bathroom inside.
So the inside is all a studio.
All the inside on scenes set. Of our the Walsh house are inside our stages in Van Nuys. Even that front porch scene with Brandon and Brenda was inside.
Is it really two stories, like on the stage?
No, there was no two stories on the stage. We had, you know, the foyer had that staircase that went up to nothing. you would have to go up the stairs.
And you'd fall off and die if you actually one more step.
Oh, they put like a board up, man. But you could still fall if you really wanted to. It was dangerous.
We had to
walk up those stairs a lot. Even that always happens. And then they really don't give you that much room at the top of a fake stairway to like, and you, it's just really, you have to like be very nimble.
Nimble, yeah.
That makes so much more sense now. I was like, man, they really bugged that family that lived there because they shoot a lot there. How did they go through all these years?
Remember how tiny that kitchen was? Like the actual kitchen in that house. It was like.
You saw the kitchen?
If I remember correctly, like if you came in through the backyard, which they usually didn't let us, but I feel like when we, spoiler alert, filmed the wedding in the backyard, which was, we were bridesmaids in pink.
Jackie's wedding.
Yes. They let us come through because they had to carry food or something. So they did let us come through. And I think one time they let us pee in there. And you came through and there was like a little kitchen. It was literally just a little counter and it was like this big. And they'd go through. It was a very tiny house. I think there might have been cats.
Very spacious on stage. So yes. Thank God. That kitchen's where all the action took place.
If they had it to do over, would they still go to Altadena? Because the inside, our stages were in Van Nuys. So it was a big trek.
Yeah.
A high school in Torrance, houses in Altadena, stages in Van Nuys.
All these things are like they're like 45 minutes to an hour away from each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. It must have been a money thing. I mean, there's always that, like, there's like a radius that when you're, you know, producing a movie, you can only work within the radius of a certain amount of miles. So you can film. And if you go out of the radius, you have to pay more money or you have to pay the crew more money to get there. There's like all these crazy union rules about it.
I have a neighbor who always rents out his house. He's like two houses down. And
for filming?
For filming. Yeah. And they filmed the show Dave there and it's just, he's like, yeah, you make good money. And we actually benefited once from it because they wanted to put a generator on somebody's driveway. And so they paid us $500 a day to put a generator on our driveway. And I'm like, okay.
Nice.
Yeah. I've heard that it pays really good to rent your house out. Would I ever rent my house out to a film crew? Hell no.
Oh my God. You would never.
Never. We've seen what happens. When the owners aren't there, like they have to put down like this board stuff on the, like, it's like cardboard or whatever on the walkways, like the hallway everywhere where everybody's going to walk to protect the floors. And they do the same thing on the walls. Like they put this cardboard stuff around all the walls, but the houses still get trashed. I'm sure of it.
I bet.
And there's a million people using your bathroom when you told them specifically no one should use the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Remember, there used to be tape that said, do not use, and we would just go in. Yeah.
Where would you guys pee?
In the bathroom that said, don't use. Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Come after us now, 30 years later. Come get us.
Yeah.
This is the behind the scenes stuff
rules
that we crave.
Don't apply to the actors. No.
Wait, yeah. That's so funny.
No, but I remember going, like, many times that's happened to me on set, like, going to use the bathroom in a seat, like on the down low, and someone's already in there, and then they walk out, and it's like, you know, a grip or something. And it doesn't, it's not good to go to that bathroom. Let's just put it that
way. Oh, because it's stinky or something?
Yeah. Like, why would you go in there and do your thing? They did have, they had like porta potties in trailers kind of a thing where you like step on the pedal and it flushes the toilet.
Have you accidentally peed in a toilet that was like fake? That was just like for set? You didn't realize it?
Mm-mm. Yeah, because like in Brandon's bathroom, I think they had a blue toilet. It wasn't real.
Oh my gosh. I bet
someone did just for fun. Just just because they could. Sounds like a good idea to me. The only other thing I was really curious about one of the only other things was why when Emily is vandalizing the float, why doesn't anyone hear her?
I know.
Right there inside the house. Steve, Andrea, Brandon, mom and dad. Nobody hears her.
Yeah. And she's tearing it apart.
Maybe she was quiet?
I guess so. But I loved the way they like like synced up her manicness to the piano. I mean, to the violinist hitting the floor. Really was building the tension.
It was.
It was very Fatal Attraction. I know they talk about Fatal Attraction, reference it in the show, but yeah.
And then nobody mentions how she destroyed the float. Like all that hard work you guys put in, it wasn't addressed.
Right? Brenda is all of a sudden her best friend to get her to put down her Bic lighter because she doesn't want her to, you know, blow the place up with her Bic lighter. I'm your friend. Everybody's your friend. What lies? Those are lies.
When we did BH90210, we told our writers, we were like, oh, okay, we have to go back and reference the float that caught on fire. But it never caught on fire. Like, I don't know why
I mean, that would have been so much better if she had lit the float on fire.
The funny part is, like, when we told Chris and Mike the story, we actually remembered it. And they went back and they're like, there's no float on fire. And we're like, no. It was on fire.
Definitely a float on fire. It was flames. There were big flames. And now we know we were really wrong about that.
I'm so mad. That should have happened, right?
Yeah. I guess we should have probably watched that episode back before we referenced it.
We were hardcore. Like, trust us. It's like one of the most memorable things on 90210. A float up in flames.
Nope. Didn't happen.
I bet it was in the script and it was like a budget thing.
Yeah, for sure. Because fire costs a lot of money.
Oh, it does?
When you're making a show like ours.
Because you need like the fire department there.
They were saving that expense for, spoiler alert, when you get burned episodes, you know, seasons later.
Oh, we have flames in that one?
Oh, I hated that episode. It was so scary.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That's exciting.
You're in the bathroom.
But I think we should get to the favorite line and the wardrobe of it all. Maybe after the break?
Yep. You read my mind.
Okay.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89.
exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. Undercover Tourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. UndercoverTourist.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
We thought we were back, but we weren't. But now we're back.
But
we're
the combo led to us being back. Sure. We were talking about Fatal Attraction, James Eckhouse being in it.
And who knew that? Who knew that James Eckhouse, a.k.a. Mr. Walsh, Jim Walsh, was in that movie, Fatal Attraction?
It's okay. You just want to call him daddy. You want to call him daddy. Go for it. You do.
I want to call him Harry Daddy.
Yeah. Do you think on set he was like, hey, guys, so I was in this movie? Or is he just like, I'm not going to mention it because that looks like I'm just like showing off.
I literally never heard him mention that he was in that movie. But I've seen that movie and he stands out like a sore thumb. I'm like, Jim, what are you doing?
Why are you there?
Why are you in that?
Get back to Beverly Hills.
He plays like a guy that that Michael Douglas works with in his office.
Mm-hmm. I have to rewatch it now.
He was great in it.
Did he have really suspenders on in the movie?
I think he might have had a suit and suspenders on probably. He was big into the suspenders, man. You got to have something to hold up the pants.
Yeah.
Pizza belt.
Maybe, you know how like some guys have like, I don't know if this was the case with Daddy, but they're... They have no butt and a big belly. So How do your pants stay up? Because then you put the belt around the belly or the under the belly? Where do you put the pants, the waist?
I think the pants fit below the belly. So they're kind of below right and low, but then you got to put the belt. But then if you have suspenders, you're just like Santa Claus then with a big belly and suspenders.
Yeah, it might be a kind of a thing you have to have because you have a certain body type, maybe.
Except I think Ryan Gosling wore suspenders in The Notebook, and he definitely didn't have a daddy body, and he was hot, and that was just a thing.
Yeah, that was the era.
I love suspenders.
Speaking of suspenders, did you guys have a favorite outfit from this episode?
Oh, before we get to outfits, I got to go to your hair. I really, and you know, I'm all about your bangs, but I really enjoyed your bangs kind of back in that school scene.
Yeah, I had the off the face situation happening.
Yeah.
I was trying to be more like Donna. With the poof over.
It looked really good, and it gave me vibes for like excitement for future episodes when I knew your hair would be kind of changing. And I don't know, I was into it. I thought you looked beautiful. I loved that. Sorry. Okay, back to clothes.
Thank you. I'm glad you liked it. Favorite outfit?
Donna's when she shows up to make the float.
I mean, yeah, that was mine too.
Me too.
Her carpenter look. And Kelly calls her out. She's like, Donna, what's with the outfit? And she says,
bucket hat, overall shorts.
She said it was supposed to be carpenter.
It's so good.
So cute.
Oat carpenter. The over the knee socks were my favorite part of that outfit. Because it was probably really hot out and I still had those on.
They were good. What about favorite line? Oh, 90210. No, no, you didn't.
I have one from Dylan. Mm-hmm. And it was when they show up and Emily is about to burn the float. And he looks like, Bren, wait a minute. She is whacked. Did you say whacked or whack?
I think he said whack.
Whack.
Because whacked would be dead. If you whacked somebody off, right? But if they're whacked, they're crazy.
Yeah.
I think so.
You should bring that word back.
Whack. I'm going to whack you. I don't think it went anywhere. I think that word is still a word.
I don't know. Like, oh man, that was whack. Like, remember that?
That was whack. But I've never used it as like, whack. You're whack or that person's whack.
I guess it works. I think, yeah, you're right. We should bring it back. It's a good word.
Okay, go.
One of my favorite lines was from Steve Sanders when he says, Brandon, you're the only family in Beverly Hills that actually has tools in their tool shed. I thought that was funny. And then my other one was from Brandon. Oh, it's a good one. Brandon says to Emily in bed, Emily, to make love, I have to be in love.
Dagger.
I was like, oh, please.
That grossed me out.
What? Yeah, he starts kissing. Like, she gets into the bed with him and starts kissing him.
He was sleeping.
He's like, so sleepy. He doesn't know that his face is being sucked on. He doesn't know Emily's kissing him, and he starts to make out with her and like.
And then realizes. And then
he says, oh, I can't do this.
Yeah. I think that's a very typical teenage boy reaction.
To stop?
Like, go with it. Start. Like, do it.
To start, not realizing who the hell it is. And then being like, oh, wait a minute.
He just thought it was one of his infamous dreams with like women surrounding right. him on the beach.
Yeah,
exactly. Ew. I have another one. Brenda says, mm-hmm. Give me a break. I mean, she is bothered in the extreme.
Remember,
she says that about Emily. She is bothered in the extreme.
Well, that was one of our most famous episodes, though, you guys.
How so?
Like, everyone talks about it. I mean, I guess it didn't blow up in flames, but everyone talks about the one where Emily went crazy and like destroyed the float. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty memorable.
It is.
The fans.
Yeah.
You guys like the drama.
I dislike her so much more in this episode than I did from the previous one. And I didn't think that was possible.
Well, lucky you, she never comes back, right? Is this Emily Valentine's last episode?
Nope.
No?
Oh. Nope.
Well, how does she come back?
Oh my God, he cheats on you with her later.
Oh my God. What?
Yes.
You are making this up right now just to make me mad.
The fact that it would make you mad is even funnier.
Hey, it's okay. We live these characters. We own these characters. Listen. There's something that happens in San Francisco.
Yes.
Okay.
She's right.
San Francisco. Jen, you got to sit down for this. I have something I need to tell you.
What?
Brandon cheats on you. Yeah. I know. It's going to happen.
How did he do that?
But we get through this. We get through it.
And you're okay. With her. Why does he? With her of all people.
Was it a work trip?
Those are always sus.
I think she goes to an insane asylum too. Is this not something that happens, you guys? Am I making all this up?
Emily also comes back in a Walsh Family Christmas episode.
Oh, good. We'll see your next episode. So there you go. Mystery solved.
So before that.
Sorry, you don't like her, but she's coming back.
Oh, she does go to an asylum. Okay, see you guys.
They lock her up in the loony bin for a while. She gets better. And then she goes back to Beverly Hills.
Poor thing. She was just the loony.
She's a little unstable. We're all a little unstable at times. But
it's life.
She took it to the next level.
Yeah, next level.
Speaking of crazies, not that the people that submitted these questions, these questions are crazies.
That was an amazing segue.
That was terrible.
No, but the question that Christy is asking is kind of about if you've dated a crazy.
Oh.
Really? What's the question?
A little bit. Christy is asking, did you prefer dating people who did or did not watch the show? Was it easier or more difficult to have your dates know about your characters?
That doesn't mean crazy. We're talking fans. Like, were they fans before?
Like, I think if you dated somebody that was like, I love your show so much, like, it would be, wouldn't that be crazy?
If they make that face when they say it, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Or remember that one episode? Like, remember that you did that one? It's like, there's no way. Right?
I've never seen you get that animated or excited about anything since we start working together. That was like... amazing.
Whoa. Whoa. End scene.
She's a thespian. I definitely have either dated or gone on dates with people that have watched the show, and it's weird. It's because they look at you a little differently for a lot of the time, or maybe I'm just sensitive to it, but I feel like they're looking at me differently. But yeah, or they make reference to it, and you're like, that's funny. Let's talk about something else. But yeah, no, my husband never says he never watched the show. He was too young.
But P.S., he's like her biggest fan too. Like,
now has he watched, or is he rewatching it with you?
Yeah, but he was gone today. And when I watched it, he's golfing, so.
He watches it sometimes with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he will for sure.
I've never dated anyone who was like an obsessive like fan, but I've definitely, I'm sure this has happened to you too, Jen, like gone to, I've gone over to someone's house for dinner and I thought it was like a dinner party and they weren't like rabid fans or something. And they opened the door and they said, and they're like, oh, hi, good to see you, Donna. And I'm like, oh, I'm so embarrassed for them. Shoot. And I don't know what to say. And then they'll start talking. They're like, oh my God, I just called you Donna. I'm so sorry. And it's like, oh, don't worry. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Right?
That happens a lot. Like when you think you're in this safe zone and you're with friends or maybe it's like a new friend and you think that they're just talking to you as you, me, Jenny, you, Tori. And then they'll slip and say, so Kelly, what happened with the, and you're like, whoa, did she just call me Kelly or am I imagining that?
But that's like innocent.
Yeah, right? Totally. Yeah.
But then it's like you didn't think that person was a fan or we didn't think that person was into the show, but I guess they were because they know the character name.
Well,
but that happens.
95% of the country was into the show. So this is a big chance.
Only 95%?
Well, I'm pretty sure that some people look at, like her husband did not watch the show. So I'm putting him in the 5%.
Yeah, he was still in a diaper with a bottle.
He was a little young.
Wait, what is the age difference here?
I don't know. Feels like a lot.
It's not. He could have watched it.
He says his sisters watched it.
He's only 9 years younger. Yeah. So he snuck in and saw it.
Mm-hmm. He was more into Saved by the Bell.
What was the demo, though? Was it mainly females or was it male and females that watched Beverly Hills?
It was a mix because they would have the parties to watch the show, you know, like everybody would get together. On Wednesday night? Was it Wednesday?
Wednesday nights.
Yeah, I feel
Wednesday
like
night and
frat party. Boy said they would like leave the bar and go home so they could have their frat parties and watch it.
Definitely. Guys, we heard from Doug Emerson that when he was in Army, Navy, Air Force, he would get together with his pals and watch it in the rec room or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You said pals. I was searching for the word too.
You said rec room.
I know. I was really going with that one. You got any more questions for us, sis? From
the crazies? We do. This is from Jenny. I guess you wrote in your own question.
Hey, does she? I did. Does Jenny spell her name with a Y or an IE?
An IE. I'm not going to lie. I don't think I've ever seen anyone spell their name like you. So
I've run into a few people and it's very rare. Jenny with a Y is a whole nother Jenny.
So, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I wonder how old she is because I feel like a lot of women, once they watched the show and then had kids named Jenny with IE because they loved you and watched you and thought that was a great name.
You think? I don't know.
I didn't used to know a lot of Tories, but now I'm seeing a lot of Tories. And when I look, I mean, it could be after Tori Amos, but when I look now, they're like that generation that their mom probably watched because they're young enough that their mom was our generation. Oh, I just saddened myself. We're old. Okay, go on.
Okay. So she's asking, while you were playing Donna and Kelly, did you ever want to be the other's character? Or now that the show is over, would you like to have played each other's character?
Would you have liked to be Kelly?
I could never have. It's so hard because it's so. No. I mean, I auditioned for Kelly because there really wasn't like a full Donna character. So they had me audition for the role of Kelly. But no, I mean, in hindsight, like no one could have played Kelly besides Jen. But.
And yeah, no one could have been Donna but you. But so that's just not.
That would be fun to see each of us. Play the other one in a scene just to see and not trying to imitate like what that one did, just like our own spin on it.
That would be fun. We should just do a big character swap someday and get everybody together and
switch roles. Wait, what is that called? Role reversal or like some fetish? I don't know. 90210 character fetish.
That sounds dirty.
Those were some intense, crazy questions. Come on, you guys. We know you got some really juicy questions for us.
Yeah, bring them. Bring them. We're so appreciative of you guys listening, and we just really love you all. And next episode is episode 17, Chucky's Back. Wonder if it means like Chucky the doll.
Okay. So I'm not sure, but I think El Zino was created because of this episode.
Ooh.
I think so.
What's that?
You'll have to wait. We'll tell you about it
next week. It's Ian's alter ego. And we love to talk about this, and we all talk about it. We talk about right to his face, embarrass him all the time about it.
Oh, he gets so mad. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was a thing. And I think it was because of Chucky's Back, which is an episode that was Chucky who played his mother was on that show.
Yes.
And it was her son on that show. There's things that happen.
Yeah.
It was a big episode for Ian.
I'm excited to listen and watch to it. I'm excited to watch it. Those are your marching orders. Go watch Chucky's Back, and we'll see you next week.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. Undercover Tourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. UndercoverTourist.com.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit Slack.com to get started.